Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let me try that again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As you come into your seat, look at a neighbor and say, I am glad, that you are here. Now look at somebody else and say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm the pastor here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of myself, our staff, our leaders, our congregation, we just want to welcome all of you to worship this morning. Our ushers are coming down right now with our ritual of friendship pad. That's your opportunity to let us know that you're with us this morning. If you're worshiping with us for the first time or second time or back after a little while, make sure you leave your information so that we can be in contact with you in the week to come. After the service this morning, I want to invite all of you to join us down in the fellowship hall. We've got coffee and refreshments awaiting down there, and it's a great opportunity to continue the service as we gather for fellowship this morning. Let you know about something cool that's happening here in the life of the church. How you know when the Spirit is moving in a place is when people start to get called into ministry. And not just ordained ministry or pastoral ministry, but when they start to say, God's put a dream in my heart and I no longer can keep it inside myself. Since I've been here in July, we've already commissioned two people into the pastoral ministry. Bob Prudhomme and Heather Nowak. Heather's already left us and gone out to serve ministry in the larger field. This morning, we get to commission one of our new members, Myra Moreland, who this weekend will go to a candidacy summit with other United Methodist people around the state of Michigan to discern her call into pastoral ministry. You've called three people into ministry in 6 months. That's how you know God is moving in a place. A couple months ago, I sat with Myra over at Jimmy's, and there over chili cheese fries and a Greek salad, God stirred. He's talking to you right now, isn't he, Kevin, right? That's right, baby. That's right, baby. And there it was there that I looked her in the eye and I said, Myra, you know it's time. God's put a call on you for a long time. When are you going to answer it? What's keeping you from doing it? Well, let this church get behind you. So this morning I invite Myra to come and stand here with me. And in the history of the church, when we send people, we send them not on their own, we send them on our behalf. And so I'm going to invite her to come stand in the middle of this group. And if you are interested and or able, if you would just kind of step in and lend a hand and place a hand on her back or on the back of the shoulder and one in front of you. I know Myra's a new face here, but she's already given a lot of leadership to our Saturday night community and is going to be helping us with discipleship. Myra, would you step into the middle of this congregation of new family and friends? And I invite you to stand as you are able and come on, step into the middle and place a hand on her. Sisters, would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you are drawing a circle ever wider here. And it's a circle that includes each and every one of us. And as that circle starts to envelop us, sometimes we feel a call, a tugging, a nudging at our heart that says we can take the next step. God, Myra has heard that call and she is moving in the direction in which you are calling her. Myra, you are surrounded right now by brothers and sisters. Most of them are new to you in this life, but they are brothers and sisters in the faith, and that friendship has been eternal since the day you were formed in your mother's womb. Myra, your mother is shining down on you right now from heaven and saying, that is my girl, and I am proud of her. Myra, leave here this week and go. Go and wrestle with God. Get more questions than you got answers. Be more unsettled about what God is doing. Leave there with a hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. And come back here and help push the circle wider so that all of your people may one day know the love that we know in this place today. Myra, we're proud of you. We stand with you. We send you, and we are ready to receive you. We ask this all in the name of the one who calls, your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Would you send Myra off with a hand clap, handshakes, hugs, high fives? It's all in order. I'll go dump it in for you. Hang on to that one for later. Here, Paul.
If it were true that God has recorded our failings, we would pray that it would never be published. But in truth, if the book was opened, every page would be blank, for God forgives us of everything we have done or failed to do. So, let us wait for God's mercy and grace as we come with our prayers for forgiveness, saying,
We are set free by your saving grace, generous God.
Yet we must confess how we are still bound by our pride and arrogance.
We cling to our fears, for they are so familiar and comfortable.
Yet there is steadfast love in every corner of our lives, in every shadow we fear,
even into the cold embrace of death itself. You break the bonds of sin and death, calling us to new life through the love and sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Go now to God in this time of silence with your own prayers and concerns. Amen. You can put your hope in God, dear friends, for God offers us that love which never fades, that life which never ends.
We wait for God, and God does not fail us. God's hope, God's love, and God's grace are forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God and community, unite us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do you ever feel you're so paper thin?
Good morning.
No, cross. Now blow out your candles.
How are you with those flyers, Miss Crawley? This will be the biggest fit show this city has ever seen. Everyone gets a shot at being a star live on my stage.
I'm here to win. That prize is mine.
You're real funny looking. That's all I come up against.
Stay with me.
Wow, this is it, folks. You better be ready to work harder than you've ever worked in your lives.
Yes, that was very bad.
You got to jump with a violent desire.
The fire went out a long time ago.
You are not going to believe what I did today.
Todd, I don't want to be in the game. I want to be a singer.
Now you're going to end up with a son like you.
You just got it now.
This show is not going to save your theater.
Maybe it's time to move on.
You know how much this means to us.
Just around the night.
This stage is about to explode with major piggy power.
Well, if you missed the movie, you've just seen it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Sometimes the trailer pretty much sums it up. But this morning, I want to introduce you to one of my new favorite characters in movies, and that's Mina. Mina is a teenaged elephant, and Mina, in this film, has a gift. Mina can sing. I mean, Mina's got a voice. I mean, Mina just doesn't sing. I mean, Mina sings. Like, when Mina sings, people stop and they listen. Mina's singing, like, reaches deep. And it's like Grace Huber kind of singing, right? I mean, it just
nice.
Just makes you stop right where you're at. And it grabs hold of you. I mean, when Mina, the teenage elephant, starts singing, you better have a box of Kleenex nearby, because you're going to be dabbing your eyes. Mina has got a gift. The only problem, the only dilemma with our teenage elephant is that she has this gift and nobody ever gets to experience it. She has this wonderful voice, but nobody ever gets to hear it. You see, Mina is afraid to share her voice. She's afraid to share her gift. She's afraid to sing. And so her gift stays locked up inside her. Until she meets Buster Moon, the optimistic red bow tie wearing koala bear. Guess who I feel like I am today, right? Buster Moon, right? Buster Moon has a gift too, and Buster Moon's gift is finding other people's gifts and unlocking them. By the time this movie is over, Buster has gone around and helped a gorilla, a punk rock porcupine, a housewife pig and her 25 babies, and a teenage angst-filled elephant unlock their dreams. You see, Buster is trying to keep his theater open, right? And he'll go to any lengths in order to do it. So he wants to hold this singing competition, believing that if this talent comes, it'll unlock this talent and people will come to his theater and it will save his theater. And so he offers a $1,000 prize, except there's a typo on the flyer. And that $1,000 prize is now a $100,000 prize. That's like when we invited people this summer to come to Pokemon Go at the First Untied Methodist Church, right? You know, that little typo can make all the difference in the world. Well, Mina's family finally convinces her that she should try to share her voice. This is her chance. And so Mina shows up and she steps up to the stage and she can't do it. And we in the audience are standing there with her, wanting her to do it. We want her to unlock this voice, and she tries. And the harder she tries, the more we in the audience are pulling and trying for her. And the more she tries, the worse it gets. She just simply freezes up until the moment where she has to be pushed off the stage. And our heart sinks for Mina. For her gift won't be shared. A little later in the movie, there comes this moment when Buster Moon finally pulls her aside and says, "Girl, you got to get out there. You have got a gift that needs to be shared." And he says to her, "Don't let your fear stop you from doing what you love. Don't let your fear stop you from doing what you love." Do you ever feel like that teenaged elephant? That you got something inside you that's locked up, that you are afraid to share? Do you feel like you have a dream that you want to pursue, but you are afraid to pursue it? How about a truth about you? About who you are and what you've been through. Do you have that truth inside of you that you are afraid that if you were to let others see it, that you too would be pushed off the stage? Ever feel like your voice just doesn't matter? Ever let fear keep you from doing what you love? I remember feeling like Mina. Fifth grade. Up until fifth grade, I loved to sing. I mean, loved it. Do you remember when the elementary school music teacher would come to your classroom pushing that piano down the hall? Right? They didn't have music rooms when I was in there. She'd push that piano down the hall, and she'd come in and out of your classroom. It was my favorite day of the week. I would sing at the top of my lungs. I loved singing. And so in fifth grade, when it was announced that all of the boys in the greater metropolitan Rhinelander, Wisconsin area, all 50 of us, would be invited to try out for the all-city-wide boys choir. All the boys from all the elementary schools would come to the middle school to try out to be in this all-boy choir. For a boy who loved to sing, I wanted to be in that choir. So my mom brought me to that audition. And I stood in a line of what felt like hundreds of boys, a line as long as the center aisle of this church. I stood in that line, and at the front of it was that piano, and behind it sat Mrs. Peterson. And little boy by little boy would approach that piano, and she would plunk out that scale. And boy by boy would follow along with that scale. And then the assignments would be made. If you had a high voice, you went to the yellow chairs. If you had a lower voice, you went to the green chairs. And if you had no voice, you went to the brown chairs. You can't make that up, people. It was really the brown chairs. So I stood in that line for what felt like eternity, watched boy after boy see that scale get played out, and they would get assigned to the yellow and to the green chairs. And finally, it was my turn to stand in front of Mrs. Peterson, and she plunked out that scale, and I sang like that little fifth grader who loved to sing at the top of my lungs with all my gusto. And she said, "Jeff, no, listen." She played it again. And I sang again as loud as I could. And she said, "No, listen." And she played it again. And at this point, I started to figure out something was wrong. And I didn't know what it was. And she kept playing it. And I started singing quieter and more timid. I had no idea that I could not hear the note that she was singing. I was singing the same note over and over and over again. Until finally she sighed and said, "Jeff, go to the brown chairs. And for the next 20 years of my life, I would not sing in front of anybody. And I love singing. But I was afraid to let my voice be heard. Caleb tells me that when he asks you, and I'm sure he's asked every single one of you, to sing in the choir, most of you say no. You don't want to hear my voice. No, I would rather sit in the brown chairs than risk having my voice be heard in the midst of the choir. Caleb is convinced that more people believe that their voice isn't worth being heard. Buster Moon says, "Don't let fear keep you from doing what you love." So what is fear? A little bit of study this week, a little bit of reminder, Psychology 101. Fear is a natural emotion. Fear has an evolutionary purpose in our lives. Fear is a thing that's been given to us to protect us. We get afraid, fear rises in us when we feel threatened. The purpose of fear is to help us be sensitive when we are under threat or attack. Let me tell you, there are things that I want my two boys, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, to be appropriately afraid of. I want them to be afraid of crossing the freeway with fast cars. I want them to be appropriately afraid of those cars. I want them to be appropriately afraid of playing with fire. And I want them to be definitely afraid of cheering for a team other than the Green Bay Packers. But there are things I do not want my boys to be afraid of. I do not want them to be inappropriately afraid. I don't want them to be afraid to try something. And I don't want them to be afraid to fail. And I really don't want them to be afraid that they would disappoint me if they did. And in this day and age, I do not want my children afraid of people who are different than them, who look different, who worship different, who come from different backgrounds. I just don't want them to be afraid. So what is the difference between afraid, fear that helps us, and fear that keeps us from doing what we love? The difference between reality and thought. Did you know that merely thinking about something that scares you is enough to scare you? I think you know that, right? Then when you just think you're afraid, your body goes into fright mode. And the body does three things when it's afraid. It either fights, it flights, or it freezes. What's your response? Are you a fighter? Are you a flighter? Or are you like Mina and you just freeze? Do you ever find yourself afraid of something that's never happened? Do you ever worry about something that might happen to the point where you actually get frozen before it ever even takes place? The emergency state that fear brings to us not only feels stressful, it actually damages our body. It affects our decisions, our choices, affects our ability to communicate, our ability to be productive, our physical abilities, and so much more. Because the fight, flight, or freeze state is designed for our survival, fear literally overrides our ability to be rational about it. When you are in a fear mode, it doesn't matter who tries to talk you out of it, you won't be able to hear it. Fear is a real thing. This week, I asked people on Facebook, I did one of my, you know, help a preacher out questions, and I said, what have you been afraid of when you were a kid? Usually when I put up one of those ask a preacher, help a preacher out questions, I get about 40, maybe 50 responses. I got 200 responses in an hour about what people were afraid of when they were kids, and 400 within the week. You remember what you were afraid of when you were a kid. I was afraid of haunted houses. You remember the in our community, the JCs every year would put on a charity haunted house where they'd charge unsuspecting young children like me $5 in order to get the bejesus scared out of us, in order to raise money to help kids. Never made any sense to me, right? You know? And so I would get in this line with all of these kids, with my buddies, and I would get in line, and sure enough, 3 years in a row, I was the kid who sat in line, and the closer that I got to the door, the more freaked out I got before I got in there, that invariably, by the time I got to the door, I wanted my money back, and I went and stood with my mom for the 20 minutes while my friends went through the haunted house. 3 years in a row, I was too scared to go in it until finally I did. I took some hard candy with me, thinking that would help, right? So I had hard candy, and that first thing that grabbed me by the ankle, I bit down on the candy, and I'm not kidding you, I lost 2 teeth in that moment, right? And so I'll never forget, at the end, the mummy's coming out of the leaves, and he's about to grab me, and I'm like, Mr. Mummy, I just lost my tooth, man. Leave me alone, you know? Can't make that stuff up, people. So I asked people what they were afraid of when they were a kid. They were afraid of closets. Who was afraid of their closet or what was under their bed? How about heights when you were a child? Were you afraid of heights? This was a weird one. Clowns. Man, there are a lot of people freaked out about clowns out there, right? How about spiders? Snakes? This one came up like a dozen times. The monkeys, the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz, right? I wasn't expecting that. People were freaked out. Some other people said they were afraid of when their parents fought or when their dad was drinking. A lot of people in my age, and I kind of forgot this, if you were my age, you were coming of age in the early 1980s, we were still doing nuclear war drills during school, as if that little desk was going to save our lives, right? They were afraid of that when they were kids. My friend Justice, the African-American, said, you know, growing up, he was afraid of the police. A reminder to me that culture shapes our fears in a way that my fears haven't been shaken. And so later in the week, I asked, so you told me what made you afraid as a kid. Tell me what now scares you as an adult. Failure. Being alone. Not having enough money to retire. Not having enough money to live. This one came up a lot. Failing as a parent. Losing my job. Not having a meaningful job. Not being loved. Being rejected. Dying. Having none of this matter. And if Buster Moon is right, our little fuzzy prophet up there with the red bow tie, fear keeps us from doing what we love. And what the movie Sing suggested to us is that when you hold back your gift, when fear keeps you from offering your gift to the world, it's not only you who suffers, it's all of us suffers. Because you see, Mina had a voice that all of us needed to hear. And because fear kept it inside her, she wasn't the only one who suffered. Everybody suffered because Mina's gift wasn't shared with the world. When your gift is trapped inside of you, it's not only you that suffer, it's all of us who suffer. It's the community that suffers. It's the world that suffers. Fear that keeps things that need to be shared locked away hurts us all. Fear, the culture around us seems to be captivated by it like no other time in my life. Terrorism, economy, the jobs, this political cycle has raised all kinds of fear on all sides of this political spectrum. And what we've realized is fear keeps us not just as an individual, but sometimes as a country, as a community, from doing what we really love. And fear also seeps into the church, doesn't it? Fear has a way of seeping into this place. Like Mina, we know here at Royal Oak First, we've been given an opportunity. We've got a gift. Something's happening here. People are being called into ministry here. More people are coming to worship here. More people are giving here. More ministry is happening here. It's exciting, and yet at the same time, I know that we are absolutely scared of what's going on here. Is it getting too big too fast? What if I don't know everybody? What if I don't get to do the things I always used to be able to do? We like these two guys, but really? I mean, we like the red bow tie and the green tennis shoes, but come on. When it matters, when it really matters, are they going to be there? When we're sick, when we're struggling, when we're dying, are they going to be there? Those fears are real, and they can keep us from doing what we love. How do Caleb and I know that you're scared? Because we're scared too. We don't want to screw this up. We want to take this opportunity that God has given us to be a church unlike any other, and at the same time, we want you to like us and love us. And so fear could keep us from doing what we love. So Buster Moon is right. How do we not let fear keep us from doing what we love? How do we keep ourselves from doing it? Well, finally, he says to Mina, you don't want to be scared anymore? Then just start singing. Just start singing, and suddenly you will be doing what you love, and you won't be scared anymore because you're already doing what you love, and that's how it works, right? Do what you love. Just start singing, and suddenly you won't be afraid because you will be doing that which you love. Little did we know that Buster Moon was a New Testament prophet, right? He literally retook what happened in the first chapter of John today, where Faye stood up here and reminded us that God is love, and perfect love drives out fear. That the only antidote to fear is love. And that's why we need this place. And that's why we need this church. Because the community of faith ought to be the place that frees people from their fears. Amen? I mean, the community of faith ought to be the place that frees people from their fears. Amen? Amen, right? So, because in this place, you will be surrounded by love. And if love is that which casts out fear, then this ought to be the place where you walk in it and you should never be afraid. Whoa. I got so fired up, I almost tipped myself right over. Be afraid of that. So here's what I want to say to you. You got a dream on your heart? Then dream it. You got a voice that needs to be heard? Then speak it. You got a desire to lead? Then lead it. Because you will be surrounded by love here. Always wanted to join the choir? Then do it here. Nobody's gonna laugh at you here. I promise we need your voice. This last Wednesday at choir practice, 14 new people singing in the choir for the Rudder Requiem. We have room for 14 more. Lend your voice because you will be loved. Always wanted to teach a Sunday school class? Then raise your hand and say, I want to do that because we will love you and we will support you. Always wanted to go on a mission trip? Ever set up here when we send all the kids out to change the world and go, how come they never invite adults to come to change the world either? Then come with them. Natalia and Hannah will take you on the trip. They're excited to have you go. Well, maybe you want your mom to come, Natalia? All right, she can come on the trip with me then, all right? Okay. Always wanted to start reading the Bible, but you were afraid when you showed up there and you didn't know anything about it that people would laugh at you? That you didn't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? That maybe somebody would know something more than you, so you stayed home? Then do it here. Because you're going to find love in the midst of doing that. Always wanted to unleash that God-sized project. Want to feed enough fish to the world, Tim, that we can raise enough money to make sure that every kid that needs a bike in Southwest Detroit can have a bike. Then unleash that dream here because you will be loved here. And most importantly, let me say this. You always just wanted to be yourself? Fully yourself? Clear about who you are and who you love and where you have been and what you have been through? Then you can do that here. Because you will be loved. Listen to the great prophet, Buster Moon. Don't let fear keep you from doing what you love. Just start doing what you love. Just start being who you are. And you won't be afraid anymore. Because you'll be doing what you love. God is love. And perfect love casts out fear. For 20 years, I sat in the brown chairs, afraid, terrified, to share my voice. And then suddenly, in my early 20s, I found myself with a new job. I was a karaoke DJ. And 5 nights a week in the hotel lounges of Western Wisconsin, I gathered with people who shouldn't be singing, along with people who shouldn't be drinking. And there in those dark, sometimes smoke-filled bar rooms, I listened to people who weren't afraid to unleash their voice even when it was not worth hearing. And suddenly in those dark nights, I started to sing again as well. And I found myself stepping out of the brown chairs and rediscovering that what I love. So in this place, even though I still tremble, I'm going to try not to be afraid to share this gift with you today. Help me out. Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. When from your lips he drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but it needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to the kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. But from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Help me, church.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Well, I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I never meant to fool ya. And even though it all goes wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my lips but hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You don't do us any good if you keep sitting in the brown chairs. And here's the deal. In this place, when your voice starts trembling, suddenly everybody picks up and starts singing along with you. Don't let fear keep you or keep us from doing what God has called us to do right now. And so in that spirit, I simply invite you to stand and let us sing ourselves home.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know not your heart
be troubled. His tender word I hear, resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. For the path we lead on, once I may see,
I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted,
because perfect love overcomes and casts out fear. So raise your voice, lend your voice, give your gift. It's not only hurting you, it hurts us all when that gift isn't shared. So go in peace, my friends, and may the peace of God go with us. Amen?
Amen.